full drink.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Cosmic Voice Radio with the Sunday Update Show from Drake. My name is Thomas Williams. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Sunday show with Cosmic Voice Drake. We're glad to be back, and we're glad you all joined us today, and looking forward to a good show. And with that,
try to do my best.
Hand it over to Drake. Okay, right. Drake.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Tom. I don't know if you guys listen to the words of that song. Need an education, need a revolution. Don't give up or we'll lose the nation. Well, I'm going to start out with it in the educational mode, just a hair, not much. Relax. It's not something that's painful. Well, let's put it that way. And the subject is arrogance. It is assumption. That's what it's all based on. An attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or in presumptuous claims of or assumptions. And arrogant, exaggeration or disposed to arrogate one's own worth or importance, often by an overwhelming manner, proceeding from or characterized by arrogance. Our elected officials have been accused, along with the administration, of arrogance. And that definition needs to be understood. To go along with it, we got people, one who's no longer with us, by the name of George Carlin. He's got a whole bunch of really interesting outlooks. He has an understanding that I hope one day to be able to make as humorous. However, he's got a thing, a little ditty he does about the American dream. You got to be asleep to believe it. Where'd it go? Where's that job? What happened to the rung up? My goodness, where do we get to go from there? Here's a quote, and this comes from Time.com. I actually got published in a magazine, which I am dropping because they don't do anything other than promulgate the political winds of the day, whatever flavor Kool-Aid it might be, that sort of thing. And the statement was, Americans need to grow up. A politician's sexual morality doesn't have anything to do with their suitability for office. Oh, come on now. You mean you don't have to be moral? Well, that's interesting. I'd say a lot of them seem to be amoral, according to what we hear on the news, if you watch that mess on TV or wherever. And then the Pope comes out with his little fun and games. Who am I to judge? You can be. Your sexual orientation does not matter. And it's getting interesting. I've stipulated on several occasions there's a lot going on, and there is. I will have, I got a lot of the information in the last few days that pertains to exactly what we're looking for, and the things I've been talking about are getting ready to happen. I've been saying this for a while, and we formed a weight club as a joke, and people are getting really PO'd that we won't see the results. E.T. can't be real. Didn't land in my backyard. What do you mean, freedom? The military is getting ready to take us over and use Russian troops. Anyway, what we've got is a twofold deal. People are clinging now, hanging on, going, I object. Benghazi, as an example, you don't sacrifice human beings. Like, you hear that, Clinton? Ms. Clinton, do you hear that? I hope that's clear. And yeah, it's a challenge. You want to come on the show? Come on. We can discuss it at length in details that I don't think you got. Why? Well, I've been telling people for a while now that I've got inside information, and I have been gleaning some things from certain portions of places that most people are afraid to go. This is where that Grinch hides in the shadows and does the bidding of its masters. This is where life is sacrificed without a second thought. This is a place that's dark. People have accused me of coming from the darkness. Well, you want some darkness, I'm going to start shedding a little light on some of these shadows that are lurking in the corner going, hey, I'm watching you. Uh-huh. You ever hear of the NSA? My goodness. Talk about watching somebody. And then they call this the great illusion, privacy. Yeah, we're switching subjects about as fast as it goes. If you lost it somewhere, well, maybe you need to hurry up and catch up. The ideology that humans don't have any rights is bogus. I don't care who says different. There are certain people in this administration that have alluded to the fact that the Constitution is nothing more than butt wipe. I beg to differ. Yeah, the piece of paper might be used that way by some people, and they think that's probably humorous as I'll get out. But I will suggest further, and I can, you know, you can take this to the bank if you want. There are a lot of people out here, not just this audience, but other audiences, people that have been denied access through the old UV network and other things that have gone on, where you get crossed hairs. Oh, he says this. What do you mean Democrats did it or Republicans did it? Well, you're rotten thingamabob, you. Ladies and gentlemen, the same Bush bagman owns both of the corporations known as the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, better known as George Soros. Glenn Beck refers to him as the spooky dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't much have a whole lot of use for Glenn Beck, but he gets a few things fairly right. Don't say much other than that and gives no details and refuses to call for answers in a lot of the times. And I understand his position. A lot of people are going to be dropped soon from cable, from access. CBS was dropped. I don't know if anybody paid attention to that. CBS was beginning to come around to some truth, believe it or not, if you got to watch. And it's not so much what you see in terms of what's presented on the screen. I turn the sound off and read the ticker. Why? Well, because you can put things in there that they don't feel like they ought to discuss openly. Yeah, there you go. A secret within a secret hidden under the blanket in the corner in the shadows. Here's what it is. People are taking exception to the idea that the government should lord it over us. Specifically, they've been finding out that just because they're a representative doesn't mean squat. NSA, IRS, and a few other alphabet agencies have told the people and their representatives to screw off. What good is a document that is redacted? You get a sheet of paper with a big black spot in the middle, and that's supposed to be compliance. Horse hockey. And don't holler and jump up and down and say, ew, national security. I'll propose some changes. And this is a minor structural change, but would have major impacts. And I propose that they do this now. Should have been done a long time ago, but I would suggest any time from this exact point forward, like tomorrow morning would be cool. I would suggest that they call that special meeting, that the committee come together and say, guess what? We got a problem with you. And we either get answers or you are going to have a problem with us. How does that work? Well, the little known fact of the matter is that the committees have a right, okay, and I mean that literally, they have a right and responsibility to have the information requested specifically on improper conduct, period. You go and grab the computer and you download the emails. What's so difficult about it? It's not that simple. Well, really? Want to bet? Yeah, it is. It's exactly that simple. Now let's knock it up a step or two. Everybody should know, if they don't, that there are armed guards all over the place in D.C. All kind of cops, all kind of federal cops, all kinds of NSA agents, FBI, CIA, oh, it is just crawling with them. It's worse than a bed bug convention, believe it or not. You want the same kind of results? And these are retirees. Where, what's the number one? Used to be the number one place to retire? Florida. The number one place for the spooks to hide out? Florida. How do I know this? I used to live there. Believe me, it is loaded with every kind of everything you can imagine, to include the Russian mafia, etc. you remember 9/11? Everybody ever hear that? Well, the airport used not too far from my house, within, I think, about 4 or 5 miles, was the one where these people were taught how to fly. Mr. Ray Stoner exposed most of that. Heck of a researcher. Pretty darn good man, too, in my opinion. Anyway, let's go back to the fun and games. So, these people are hanging around. They're not letting go. They want answers. I want answers. But you got an administration and you got officials saying, you don't want the answers. You don't want to go where I reside. You don't want to be in that dark place where life is subject to the wrong statement costs you your life area. What kind of a deal is it? Well, it could be a little scratch from a pin. It could be a bullet. Yeah, it could be an explosion. It could be the situation where they will kill several hundred people through some kind of a physical mishap. And Neil Keenan was, they tried to subject him to that, popped a gas line loose, and if they hadn't caught it in time, goodbye. They were going to wipe out several hundred guests and a motel, and the motel's not that bad, just to shut Mr. Keenan up and stop him from doing what he's doing. Desperation? Well, calls for desperate measures, and they are desperate. In case anybody hasn't noticed, a lot of CEOs are changing positions. In case anybody has not noticed, there's been a load of banking changes recently. Now, I did elucidate to one fact recently, and it came from ACLU. I hate that, but freedom of speech, right to access government information, all those things that we've been hearing about that all of a sudden somebody decided we don't have the right to have. And then I noted earlier, that was on the 14th of last month, banks win again. CFTC caves, SEC opens door wide open to fraud. They watered down the legislation in such a manner that they came out with the advantage. You've heard all this before, I'm sure. It's not real good, real up-to-date news necessarily, but we're about to get into it, and people are really going to lose it on this. We have a group of people that feel that they are entitled, and it don't matter what color you are. It don't matter what economic status you are. It don't matter what your position is. These people feel they are entitled to one thing or another. In some cases, it's power, privilege, money. I mean, you know, pick something. You'll find a group that definitely is after those things. Let's take it one step further than that. If somebody pays for something, then it is not an entitlement. An entitlement is something bestowed or given to you, gratis. I don't know about everybody else, but if you go someplace and you pay for something, you generally expect that you get the light bulb or whatever it was you bought. Generally, it gets put in a bag along with the receipt, and they smile again at you and thank you for your money, and out the door you go. What's interesting in this case is that they're saying that things that we paid for are entitlements. Now, I want you to remember that. They lump Social Security, Medicare. Medicaid is a welfare program. Food stamps is a welfare program, whether anybody likes it or not. That's what they are. And remember, welfare got killed 20, 30 years ago, done away with. Oh, really? Well, I don't think so. The soup lines of the Great Depression are hidden in the food stamp program, ladies and gentlemen. You think about this very closely. You got half not paying taxes. Well, there's something wrong with that. How is it that we do not have a better system? Well, because everybody's afraid to screw with it. Why? The people that are actually in charge say, keep your skinners off of my stack, Jack. Don't you mess with mine. That's me. You don't touch it. You touch that and I'll get you. I will come after you. Well, we've got things like Benghazi and the IRS scandal and NSA going on. Oh, and by the way, those are fraudulent things, according to certain people in certain offices. One fraud knows another, I can tell you that. That should be obvious, and yeah, fraud. Here's the thing we got. Benghazi is a case of willful manslaughter. Now, you heard recently that a whole bunch of embassies and whatnot have been closed around the planet because there's been a threat. Well, it's a nondescript or undescribed threat, nonspecific. We're going to blow it up. We're going to shoot everybody. We're going to do this and do that. Uh-huh. There's a lot going on with the Benghazi thing. There were people who were in a position to help who were told to stand down. There were flights canceled. There were alternative measures not supplied. There was foreknowledge, and this is the next piece that's coming out, and I'm coming out with it before it actually comes out, but it's coming out, that they knew about it beforehand. Ooh, yeah. And it ain't a fault of the Intel Committee. They reported it. It went up the chain of command. Uh-huh. Hello, Ms. Hillary. Guess what? You got a problem. 4 counts of manslaughter. That's what you got. You need to be in jail, along with Eric Holder. What's his count up to? 6, 8, 10 border guards killed by guns that he illegally internationally trafficked across the border? Dude, you think we don't understand that you knew all about it? Well, not me. Plausible deniability. What records? Well, and then you got Bush. And everybody was told to shut up or die. And his military records got adjusted. Interesting. Really interesting. So, you got these things going on, and people are filing suits and actually enforcing some of this. Now, I come across a person that used the UCC filings and was successful. I'm going to try to see whether or not that man is available for next Sunday's show. People need to understand the difference between the fear porn out there, what can and cannot be done, and the manner in which to go about it, so that you can be successful. I'm sure there'll be some people that will be interested in the legalities concerning that and their application to your benefit. Somebody wants to take your house? Uh-uh. Why not? Well, you got the title deed, yes or no? We got a affidavit, no. Title deed. If somebody wants to take your house and they ain't got the title deed, tell them no. Ask the judge that, you know, hey, they don't have ownership. They're a third party. Without a real authorization to be even involved to talk about this, let alone do anything in court. What's with these people? How about you send them my mortgage bill, let them pay it, and I get a free house? How about that? Believe it or not, that's been happening. People are beginning to wise up. You got to have the title deed, you're not the principal. Okay. Number two. 99% of this stuff is not handled correctly according to precedent and procedure. If you do not do things correctly, everything becomes bogus, and usually the person playing games with the law ends up with problems. Yeah, tell the IRS to go stick it somewhere. See how far you get. Uh-huh. Whoa, wait a minute. There's Obamacare. It's lurking in the corners. It's getting ready to be introduced. Well, let's exempt the employers. Really? Well, what about us, man? I work here. And I'm going to get zapped, and he ain't got to do nothing, and he can sit back and relax in his chair and quit sweating. No. Well, now everybody's exempt. Why don't we can that thing? Well, why don't we? Most people are fine, and if you ain't been paying attention, I'm going to elucidate so that you don't miss nothing. A whole bunch of unions And workers in different alphabet agencies have said, no, we're keeping what we got. We're getting our exemption out of opting out paperwork altogether. They're playing legalities with the legality. Interesting. That must mean that each individual has also the same right to opt out. Why? People are now corporations, and corporations are people, and they have the same rights, so therefore we can do what they do. Oops. Yeah, you think about that. You want to set a precedent? You want to write procedural law? You want to be a poster child? Guess what? We can arrange that. All right, test cases. Benghazi is going to be in a nasty test case. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of complicity. There's also following orders. Oh, they tried that as a defense in Nuremberg. Didn't work too well. They strung them up anyway. I don't know if the right people heard that one. No, I do. Let's take it to the next step. Okay, what do we got about the NSA? No. The Supreme Court says yes. Well, maybe we need a new Supreme Court. Maybe our good judge Napolitano that appears on Fox News every once in a while and tells the absolute truth as the way things are supposed to be should be the person to set up our new Supreme Court and judicial system. I'd vote for that one in a heartbeat. I like the guy. He's honest. A whole bunch of things need to be redacted in terms of applicable law anyways. And I feel that, man. I mean, you know, I'd take up I got a few bucks. I can put some money towards the black felt tip pens that they use. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Anyway, so what has happened recently? Well, it started out with Detroit declaring bankruptcy. Very quick action. I want you to understand. I want you to take note of that. Very quick action. Why? Well, it's different than an individual. Cities and counties and states and things like that have been squirreled around to where they are more privileged than the individuals supporting them. Yeah, that's where it's at. And that's why it was so quick. What happens? Ooh, well, at the highest taxes in the country just about, of just about anywhere, you get a whole bunch of abandoned property or totally vacated populace, less than half or whatever of what was once there. No industry to speak of because the big three left long time ago. Uh-huh. They knew it was coming. Now, what is the involvement? Okay. There's several things that go into this. If you are working for a government agency, whether it's, doesn't matter what it is, local or whatever, does not matter. Be sure that you're included in Social Security or you ain't getting any. Think about that. It ain't much, but it's sure a lot better than nothing. Number two, all of a sudden, the agreements made by the city of Detroit with the different unions and working groups that, and I don't know if anybody's ever been in government, it's screwed up, but you get to work your butt off just to maintain, and even then you fall behind. It just keeps growing and getting worse. But you do your best. You bust your whatevers. And in the process, they set up agreements called pension plans and things of this nature. Okay. The bankruptcy of Detroit is going to be a large, and I mean huge, test case. There's three test cases I'm gonna refer to today that people should know about. If you don't, you need to keep your ear to the ground and pay attention. Unions have been a problem in a lot of ways. The demand to keep up with expenses is primarily the problem. Okay? What you need to understand is who determines the costs involved in living. It is not your grocery store or gas station. It is not your local electricity company generally or water company, etc. What happens is that the government of an area inclusively brings into being a thing called an agreement, a special taxation area. In short, cost them X amount of dollars to put a sewer system in, and they intend to charge you for that. Why do you think a sewer fee is involved now? Oh, yeah, well, that used to be part of the water bill. Now they can't. It's more than a water bill. Interesting. Why is that? Well, you put in all these things, and they get what they call economic development areas. They call special needs areas, special applications. Basically, what it amounts to is the government does something, and we all get to pay for it. What ends up happening is that, on average, the arrears, in other words, the amount you pay in relationship to the amount spent, ends up, on average, 30% short. Now, I covered this 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, at least, on a different show I was doing. It was not live like this one. It was just simply a set of recordings. Those recordings can be accessed through web pages. And these are facts. These are not, and it ain't me. This is the government knows this, why they put the government facts out in this particular instance. In short, you get your behind no matter what you do. So, property taxes have to go up. Why does the government need taxes on your property? Well, they say maintain roads and do this and do that. Well, but what about the gas tax? That's supposed to be paying for all this stuff here, and it ain't. Well, something ain't right. Somebody's got some awful well-padded pockets somewhere. There you go, CAFR accounts. Nah, think about this. Hiding money. Back to the test cases. Detroit, and I'm using this as a poster child because that's what it's going to be. Everything is on the table. Well, why don't they just forgive the debts? Why don't they just negate them? Well, some people will allow you to do that, and you can do that in some ways at some times. However, in a lot of cases, when you work for a government entity, you don't go into the Social Security program. Why is that? Well, very simply, it's more expensive than having a pension. Nothing else, just bottom line stuff. It's just business, nothing personal, but screw the individual in the process. That's how that works. So what do you got? You end up with a pension. Now, 2-3 different places have stated that the average pension is in the 20 grand per year area. You take a look at 20 grand divided by 12 months, and it ain't all that much. If you could add in Social Security, you might be okay. Now, you're going to be scraping by if all you got is that pension. Well, it's on the table. They cannot come up with the billions of dollars necessary to fund it. Well, where did all the money go? Got the highest taxes, and you ain't put the money. Well, somebody made off like a fat cat somewhere, or a rat, or however you want to look at that. In essence, Detroit's broke. It's going to be a test case for government entities going belly up in order to break the unions. That's one of the main things. Number two, so that they can also screw the individuals that still are forced to live there. Everybody that could leave Detroit, and I mean this quite literally, everybody who really could and saw the writing on the wall left. That's why the population reduction is so extraordinary. People who could and had the education and experience get another job of similar quality and pay went somewhere else. They're deathly afraid. And now we got all these people going, well, what's the answer? Let's bring in aliens and give them the building or something like, you know, let's do something. Well, you got to have jobs. And we're going to get down to some things here. Everybody's heard of the right to work states. And if anybody wasn't paying attention real close, you should have. Boeing aircraft is rather large. They went to a right-to-work state. They did not abandon their union places of manufacturing and whatnot. They kept them open. The right-to-work state pays comparable to the union. Why? Well, if you're an engineer, you expect a certain amount of pay at the very least. And that's pretty much what you're getting, some kind of comparable. Why? They want to keep you. Not because they want to get rid of you, not because they're anti-union, but I want you to think about this. And I've been in several unions, and the unions are great if they actually do something. This is a little different than what most people think. First and foremost, unions came about for the protection of the individual. That's the idea. In other words, you make an honest mistake, they don't arbitrarily fire you for it. You keep making mistakes, and eventually they'll get you out of there. But then you've got this shadow union. Now, I'm talking about first regular unions like you have everywhere. office workers and all these other people. Nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to get to the point of this in a second. You then have what's called a shadow union. This is an assumptive agreement whereby certain things are possible and certain things are not. It's part of an employment agreement a lot of the time and a lot of times not. But, and this is the cool part, it's there. Well, what does that mean? That means it's next to impossible to fire somebody, even for gross negligence of duty. You can stay home for a week and they have trouble firing you for that. You might not get the greatest hours, but then again, hours are controlled too. You might even get compensated for the week that you decided to take off, and not at vacation pay or sick pay, just because personal time. Show me the contractor who gets paid extra to cover your paid holidays. Oh yeah, think about it. Show me the contractor gets paid extra so that he can provide you, he or she can provide you with compensation if you get hurt. Well, they got insurance. They'll send you to the clinic. They'll sew your arm back on. Don't guarantee it'll be right side up, but they'll sew it back on. Some of these clinics are questionable. I've been to a lot of them, and most of the ones I've been to are excellent. Sort of like the VA. They do a whole lot of work with a whole lot of nothing, and it gets a job done right. But, so Detroit's broke. That's serious problems. Well, now what do we do? Well, we're going to have to wait and see what the judge rules. Generally, all agreements are off. Now, where does that leave somebody that's worked 25 years and decided to retire? All of a sudden, his pension goes poof up in smoke, and he ain't got nothing to deal with at all. I mean, it ain't easy out there right now. Ain't no jobs, and there's a reason for that, too. I'll get into that in a second. But you got all these turkeys, Time Magazine among them, and a lot of these so-called news channels. Ooh, the economy is doing fine. Look at that stock market go. Yeah, right. Well, you got like 5%, and that's the upper crust. They're making money hand over fist. They got so much they don't know what to do with it all. They reinvest in the stock market. That's why the stock market goes up. And they got this slush fund. It's an agreed fund. Everybody puts a little bit in here and there, depending on, I don't know if it's a percentage or exactly how it works, but I do know that it's there, and I do know that everybody puts in. And what happens is when there is a real problem, they can bolster things. European Union is famous for this. If you watch the Euro, I mean, good grief, that thing is that thing is unbelievable. Up, down, sideways, back and forth, and who knows where it's going to, you know, round and round she goes, where she stops, nobody knows. Like playing roulette. You don't know which end's going to be up on any given day. And the fun's beginning. But it's an artificial support. Every time it gets down to $1.29, $1.28 or so, all of a sudden it gets pumped back up again. Well, good luck on keeping enough assets on hand to be able to keep continually doing that. I don't think it's possible. I think they're, from what I hear from the banking industry and finance, that they're pretty much at the end of the rope. Well, come back to the States then. Here we go with us. Where are we at? Everybody's saying we're going to have a major collapse caused specifically and purposely by these oligarchs. Well, no, not exactly. The oligarchs are no longer within a position to have the control that they once had and therefore cannot influence the markets as much as they would like, as much as they were once able to do. So that leaves them in the lurch a bit. So Detroit's broke. Finances ain't looking good. And then you got the, all of a sudden you got this protest, and it's a government, local governmental protest against large retailers in Washington, D.C. And Walmart's one of their principal targets. Walmart had three or four stores that are getting ready to open, or had just opened, and three or four more under construction. And these guys say, well, we want $12.50 an hour. That's what the survivability level of wages is going to be for anybody of certain size, et cetera. Walmart just fits into all the categories. And they said, no. They have, so far, temporarily halted construction on the stores that they were building and are preparing to close the new ones that have been opened. I want you to think about this real carefully. And over a period of time, leave the Washington, D.C. area, period. Okay, interesting. Well, what is Walmart paying? Minimum wage? No, they start about $8. $9 an hour, $10 sometimes, depending on where you're at in that organization. And I'll tell you right now, $12 an hour for a married person, two people, no kids, two people. If each one of them make that amount, you can survive. I didn't say live nice. Now, an individual only making $12 something an hour, they're going to be living with mom and dad and an uncle or somebody, and they're probably going to be living at least close to, if not within, what everybody refers to as the hood. Now, anybody that don't know where the slums are needs to investigate. All these people that like to raise their political heads and object need to go visit. And no, I don't mean drive through with the bulletproof windows rolled up on your limo. I mean go down there, park the friggin' thing, get out, up off your fat butt, out of the nice comfy, and go walking around and talking to some people. See how long it takes for them to, for you to get robbed. Yeah, that's what I said, and I said it out right out in the open. Somebody who's got that much can afford to share it. That's exactly what these people believe. And in a lot of ways, I do not disagree with them. Where did they get their money? They took it from other people. Voluntarily, usually, in terms of some people, donations. Well, I mean, Lord, drive around a $100,000 car and I expect somebody that don't have nothing to eat with to leave you alone? You got to be kidding. And I'm not going by race at all, period. Forget that. Just look at it as an individual. They see you with that limo. And your expensive watch, and I don't mean a $29.95 Timex with a rubber band on it either. I'm talking about something of value. They figure you got money someplace. Diamond ring, I'll take that, yeah. Gold teeth. Smile for me. I got a baseball bat. We'll get them gold teeth. I'm talking about dealing with people that are at survival level and below. These are people who live literally, seriously, hand to mouth. They don't got a temporary job for the day. I got to go steal something to eat or take something from somebody to eat. That's how serious this is. Now, there is, as men, a growing problem within this country of denigration. And it don't matter what color or national origin or, you know, it don't matter if you're a Negroid, Latino, Spanish. It don't matter. You are not allowed. You don't get the job. Even though it's open, you don't get the job. I did a check when I was looking around, and I've come to find out I had a friend that knew some people that I knew, and they worked at a publication that I was using to see what was out there. I looked at the want ads. Yeah, I needed a job. Went down to the state unemployment office, and they offered me $1.98 an hour, and I kind of giggled and said, man, that, you know, I have to walk to work as it is. That's 5 miles. Well, are you out of your mind? No, that's a good job. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, we got a lot of them pay $1.50. Some pay only $1.25. I said, oh, good Lord, dude. Well, you know, talk about enslavement. We're going to get to that in a minute, too. So you got DC wages. They decided that they're going to put $12.50 on everybody that is of a certain size, et cetera, and they do a certain amount of business. And everybody in DC went, you didn't. And city council and them other people down there that supposedly represent the people said, yes, the people deserve that amount. That's supposed to be a survival wage. Well, it takes 15 an hour for an individual, period. And this is not, this is within the last 5 years, okay? It's probably gone a little bit more than that by now, but you need 15 an hour. That's base. You're going to take home about 400. That's 10. They're taking $5 an hour right out of you. The vampires has got you, and you, nothing you can do about it. You're just stuck. Well, so if you take home 408 a week, you might be able to make it. You ain't going to live very good. You're going to have to watch what you spend. You're going to have to be real careful. Can't afford no beer at the bar no more. You'd be lucky to afford a six-pack every 2 weeks. But $7.25, that ain't squat. I mean, you know, a teenager makes that. That's $56 a day. Well, you know, make it 50. You know, you're going to have to drop it down. There's taxes. So the idea of the of that demand is ridiculous. The idea that that is a legal requirement just is ridiculous. The starting wage, minimum wage, and this has become an issue, doesn't mean a whole lot one way or the other, depending on its amount. Now, back in the day, it was five something an hour. All of a sudden, it jumped to six and then seven real quick within about a year. And I'm looking at that, I'm going, that's interesting. And I noticed, and this is from personal observation because I was in my hometown, grew up there, knew a lot of the people. And all of a sudden, a lot of these places weren't open the usual 5-6 days a week. They were closed a day or two. I noticed that the smaller businesses who could not afford that, could afford to pay somebody that, were now doing it themselves. That means that the mom and pop who are looking to hire people young enough to handle standing up for 20 hours a day or whatever it takes, depending on what it is, they were looking to hire some young blood to get in there because they couldn't do it. The ones that really couldn't, they closed up shop. I saw very, very large areas of small businesses, a trinket shop or this or that, nothing special one way or the other, but special in that when you went in there, you got to meet an individual who had 35 years experience with this stuff, been doing it forever. You can get a better deal. Minor price like this, you can go down here and get the same thing for a dollar less. Up to you if you want to travel all that way, but, you know, here's mine. Same quality, same, et cetera. And if you liked the person well enough, you did business with them. Didn't matter if you could get a cheaper dollar down the road. Now we got great hordes of people that are so pressed, oppressed, held down, controlled, and underpaid, whether that's a part-time job when you ought to be full-time, doesn't matter. What matters is you can't do it. And so you got great masses of people flocking to Walmart. Well, now, Walmart has a problem, and I've been taking a look at this. The only time that they get crowds, other than in the grocery, is during back to school time, when they can when they take things down to almost cost, just get you in the store. Very few people are going around looking for anything else. Quite honestly, very few. It's not, it ain't crowded like it used to be when they first was up. Target has a lot better customer base. Why? They offer better quality at the comparable price. Now, I've mentioned some things. I've mentioned some stuff about Walmart pricing, and they decided to take an ad out in the papers and try to prove me a liar. Well, which would you shop at? A local store that takes care of their people, a local store that supports people that you know. Your kids may go to school with their kids. Or take it to Walmart and have it sent off to China, Timbuktu land, or wherever it might be, in order to support somebody at 10 cents an hour. Yeah, think about it. There's a lot of sweatshops involved in this. Walmart is extraordinarily guilty of that. Oh, yeah, and they've been straightening up and hiding it better, but they're still requiring people to work off the clock. Yeah, that's right. You clock out, and they don't want to pay you overtime, so they make you work an hour or two here and there, doing this, doing that. Did you get this done? No. Well, you should have got it done. You go do it now. I'm off the clock. I don't want to hear it. You want your job or not? Well, got to have something. And you got all these displaced people through foreclosure, through jobs drying up. But the stock market's doing fine. The economy is getting ready to boom. Oh, get ready and excited. Yeah, well, confidence went up for about 2 weeks and come right back down again. Why? Ain't nothing, none of that materialized. And then, and this is funny, you've got two sections of employment. One is the generally experienced area. That means somebody who's been in the workforce knows something about what it is to make a paycheck and satisfy their employer and not be too upset about doing what they're doing. That's what that basically is about. Some people just hate their job. Well, you know, if you can, go get another one, honestly. The happier you are at whatever you're doing, the better everything's going to be. You don't feel like it's work as much, even though you might know it is. You don't feel like it. So therefore, there's some of that burden, that weight on your shoulders is lifted a little bit. If you're happier, then the dark clouds, evil influences, whatever you want to call it, tend to dissipate. It's not difficult to figure this out. you go through a time, at some time or another, and everybody's had this. You drop your keys, spill your coffee, everything you can imagine to try to make you late for work. And if you realize it soon enough, about the third instance, whatever that may be, you go, no, I don't want to play. Ain't got time for that. You guys go bug somebody else and see you later. And the gremlins leave, and all of a sudden the rest of your day goes smooth. Mm-hmm. It's just like the idea of belief. Belief is simple. You believe that certain things are going to take place. They happen generally. Weathermen are famous for that. We're going to get 5 foot of snow. It might only be 2 feet, but you get everybody to believe in enough, you get 2 feet of snow, and that screws things up just as bad as 5 foot, just about. But keep going here. One more thing, one more item on the list, and I could not believe this. You have, as I said, the experience, job experience, where somebody knows something about making a paycheck, keeping the employer happy, and not feeling too distasteful about what they're doing. The people who need to learn about this have one and one only alternative. Ain't nobody going to start at the top. I don't care who you think you are. You're going to start at a disadvantage in a lot of ways. In some cases, they're very limited, and I do mean very limited. These are very specialized cases. You can start in the middle. Not at the top, but in the middle. You can do all right for yourself. I was offered a job at $63,000 a year upon graduation. And that ain't bad for starters, especially since how they pay all expenses. Well, what kind of expenses are those? I said, well, go pick you out a car. Something that's not real expensive and something that'll get reasonable mileage so you can drive if that's what you want to do, et cetera. You got to explain to me. I just, you know, wow. Anyway, so you got these people out there who graduate high school, hopefully. Anybody out there who has not graduated high school, I suggest you get yourself involved in the GED program and get your high school diploma. Why? You earn almost twice as much with it as without it. It's a piece of paper. It don't mean squat, but it says something. Well, if it's going to break you away from, let's say, what is it, $7.25 an hour? And start you in at 9, I'd say that's worth it. You pay yourself back for that piece of paper in a year, if you find something you particularly like that's specialized, I recommend a technical college. Why? Gives you the expertise in terms of applicable knowledge. That is not some kind of book learning, pie in the sky, theoretical horse hockey. This is application, stuff you stick your fingers on and do. And what it does is it can make you into an apprentice electrical engineer. What's the degree? Applied Science of Electrical Engineering. Ooh, think about it. Yeah, that's a technical degree. It could be food prep. Oh, everybody's got to eat. Well, it could be management. And what's interesting about the management part of it is that the management routine that I was exposed to offered management into varying areas. They put you with buyers for grocery stores if that was an area that you were interested in, or someone who dealt with clothing, or precious stones and gems. Think of something. Steelworks. Think about the scrap industry. I mean, good grief. If we were able to correctly implement it, and somebody had a sugar daddy that was willing to pony up a little cash, you could start a multi-billion-dollar, and I said billion, that's a B, not an M, a multi-billion-dollar industry right here in the States. Why? Because there ain't any. Guess what? Everybody's looking for one. Ain't found it yet. Why? Well, it deals with some hazardous materials. If those are handled properly, and you can do that with a simple robot. Simple robot runs about 20 to 50K. Yeah, two. That's what you need. Two of them. That's it, pretty much. The robotics can run themselves, so you don't have to endanger anybody. And then on the other end, stuff comes out after it's fired or melted or whatever, and you can work with it with your hands. Ha ha. Yeah. People don't realize how much of an industry there is in that. It's approximately $35 billion right now. Most of it goes to these third-world countries. What do? They give the guy a blowtorch and tell him to melt the stuff off the circuit board. This is an example. And he does so, breathing the fumes and dying from it. He averages 3 to 5 years lifespan after you start that job. Ah. So if you take that hazardous out of there and make it less hazardous and individuals can handle it, there's $35 billion and you can knock down a billion or more, no problem. Just an idea, just to give you one idea. However, so we're going through the education. Now, we got this problem with people who don't have any work experience at all. The only people they've worked for is mom and dad. They got paid to wash the car and cut the grass. Well, my kids used to wear my lawnmowers out going around cutting grass. They could make $5-$10 here, $5-$10 there. They'd do it. They didn't have a problem with it. Why? Because I was a tightwad. And explain to them that a gift is like that fish. You give a guy a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. Pretty simple. In this case, it's called work ethics. You can learn all this stuff. You're going to have to learn that somebody's going to be your boss that you probably hate, that you can't get along with. But you can put up with it so that you get the money. Yeah, and try not to deal with that person anymore than you have to. Stay away from them. Do something that, you know, keeps you at a distance. Ain't a big deal. Look for a better opportunity. Could be the same thing. You just don't have to put up with that person. I mean, depends on the opportunity and how you look at it. Okay, so I couldn't believe my eyes the other day when I looked at the friggin' news, and this was on every friggin' channel. Unbelievable. I mean, totally, I was amazed. I was in shock. I could not believe that people were so bodacious, audacious, and had the arrogance, yeah, there you go, to demand. Well, what happens when you demand? That's basically confronting somebody that you want something from. Now, everybody knows about prayer. Lord, I ask. Well, that word ask is not ask. It is eto. It translates demand. How do you do that? It is a legal, lawful petition to the Creator for you to receive something from Him. for her, as the case may be. So prayer, yeah. What it boils down to is your absolute believing. Do you believe strong enough that you can manifest a job? Yes. What do you got to do that? Well, you have to understand an opportunity will be presented to you, and you latch on to it. Might not seem right at the time. There may be a lot of things wrong with it, but it is an opportunity. You do not know what opportunities are associated with or come with that simple thing. It might be sweeping the floors. You never know. It could be cleaning toilets, and that ain't a nice job, I guarantee you. But it's an opportunity. What can you do with it? Well, if you squirrel your stuff correctly and you're real careful, you can use that as a stepping stone. This is called introductory. This is called trainee. This is called beginner wages. Right now, the federal government has an unfunded mandate of $7.25 an hour, I believe it is. $7.25 an hour ain't squat. Anybody don't know that, go try working for it. Take your paycheck, go in at $6.50 an hour, and that's basically what you're going to make out of that $7.25. Yeah, they're off. It's off the top of my head. It ain't penny perfect, but it's close enough. $6.50 an hour times 40 is what? Not much. $250 a week? Ooh, that is, ooh, that's close to hurting. That's painful. I mean, that's like skinning your elbows on the concrete or your knee or something. But, and I couldn't believe it, it was right there, mainstream news. All of a sudden, these people are saying, we got the right. Really? Says who? They're protesting out in front of McDonald's, Subway, and all these other little places where you get minimum wage to start with and probably stay there for a while. Starter jobs. We want 15 an hour, minimum of 12. Really? They can't afford to make a Subway. You can't flip a burger for that. Ain't no way. It ain't going to happen. Everybody and their mother-in-law can protest all they want. Problem is that it is not the store's deal. It ain't them that did it. What we have here is a great misunderstanding, and this is something that culminates what I'm presenting. You got the arrogance of the assumed power and importance of the individual. You got George Carlin. He tried to be funny, but it wasn't funny. The American dream, you got to be asleep to believe it. And how many realize it? We ain't part of the party, believe me. You ain't getting it without having connections. And then you got these dink putting out this popularity thing. Americans need to grow up and understand that politicians' sexual morality doesn't have anything to do with their suitability for office. They just trashed morality. You got the arrogance of people that are set apart, they're above you. They don't want you to touch them for fear you might get something on them. George Carlin telling you about the American dream, be asleep, well, and then the Pope goes, yeah, well, who am I to judge? Well, we're looking to certain people in certain places, and I just the Pope happened to just pop out. We got a lot of people that need to start making decisions according to what is supposedly written about these decisions. We need to understand that the people, we the people, and I'm inclusive in that, and this is how this works. Each and every last one of us has been stepped on, screwed with, and screwed over by a common enemy. It ain't the white people that done it to the black folks, and it ain't the black folks been doing it to the whites. The Latinos don't got nothing going much for them either in terms of all this. They're at war, the brown power is at war with the black power, and the white power guys have decided to pull in their horns and kind of look, wow, man, I don't need 15 people after me. That ain't cool. So they're not spouting the usual hate routines. But let me tell you something. You want to look at the history? Look up the Ku Klux Klan. I'm going to dip into this just as far. Look up the Ku Klux Klan. You'll find that each and every last one of the nationalities and orientations that I just mentioned, including black people, were members of the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan used to be a totally different organization. It got subjugated. Remember Occupy Wall Street? It got subjugated. The boom had changed suddenly, and it wasn't right. And you could sort of smell something wrong. Very simple. We got something wrong right now. People are blaming each other when it ain't each other that's doing it. These things are predecided. The oligarchs, the people that are the one percenters, half percenters, trillionaires. It started out there was millionaires. They had the places on the islands in northern Florida. Then all of a sudden the billionaires come in and start buying them out. Within a year and a half after that, the trillionaires started coming in and displacing them. It's a never-ending cycle. He who has more plays. He who does not gets out of the way. You take old people. They've been thrown out of the way. Why? Oh, you're useless, you're slow, you're fuddy-duddy, da-da-da-da. I tell you that you might want to talk to some old people, find the people that know what's really going on, and talk to them about it. What kind of remedy would be good for this? How do I do that? And you find out that the guy was a carpenter for 60 years, knows everything about woodworking that never was wrote down, and can explain it to you in 5 minutes flat. You hold it like this, take your tool and you do it this way, and you make sure that you put a little body English on it, and the draw knife, you got to look that one up, the draw knife works just fine, better than any plane ever made. Oh, yeah, that was an original tool. How to make moldings with carving knives and a really sharp hatchet and axe. Think about this. You want to get into some woodworking? See, my grandfather used to take a pile of lumber and make it into whatever exactly you wanted. He'd come into your place, he'd measure it out, and he'd say, okay, here's what you can get. You can do it this way, this way, this way. What do you want to do? What do you need? And whatever it was you decided, he'd put it together, and it'd be nice when he got done. All the drawers worked fine, doors and whatnot opened perfect, and he did this from scratch, pile of lumber, okay? But here's what the trick is. Forget all this artificial BS. Forget the things that have been perpetrated upon us. You got to hate the black man. You got to hate the white man. You got to hate the Latinos. Oh, illegal aliens. Ooh. Then you got the governmental part of it. No representation. They represent themselves, maybe. Maybe. Usually it's somebody that's telling them what to do. Why do you think they make all these deals all the time? Now, how about this? How about we restrict them to taking care of business and start ending the problem? Ooh, think about it. There'd be a lot of them really squirming if you start that. I guarantee you that. But the problem is not with the people. The problem does not lie between races or ethnic origin or belief system. The problem lies, quite simply, in the trumped-up horse hockey that these oligarchs, people who control the mainstream media and other places of, quote, information, unquote, who have decided that this is the way things are going to be. You see, back in the day, they ended slavery. Back in the day, they said, okay, secretly, they decided to enslave us all. And that's where we are today. And with that, Tom, I hope you're there and got some music.
Yes. Yes, I'm back.
Right, I know, okay. I'm past about the hour, but, you know.
Yes, we're about 10 minutes past the hour. We've got two songs to play today. And I think that both of them are significant at this time. And we have a special guest coming on just after the music. So enjoy the music. It's about 8-9 minutes long.
He took the midnight train. Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them say we're crazy. Put your hands in my hand, baby, don't ever look back. Let the world around us just fall apart. Maybe we can make it if we're heart to heart. And we can build this dream together, standing strong forever. Nothing's gonna stop us now. And if this world runs out of lovers, we'll
Cosmic Voice. That was two songs there that are very pertinent at the moment. Nothing's going to stop us, and don't stop believing. And I'm asking people not to stop believing, because nothing is going to stop us. I'm now going to introduce Drake back, and also a special guest. It's Mr. Militiaman himself, Mr. Rick Light.
Hey, glad to have you, Rick.
Well, thank you all for having me on today. I really appreciate the time and effort to get back on here and shout out to everybody and tell everybody hello and wish everybody the best of luck in everything they do. And, well, stay focused, folks. Got a lot to do and a short time to get it done.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So, Rick, can you tell us how the militia movement is going at this time?
Well, I can tell you about what we're doing here in Texas.
Yeah.
As many of y'all know, I'm a commander and an elected commander, mind you, not self-appointed, but an elected commander to the Texas State Militia. I'm also the Region 2 Director. Region 2 Director takes a region of Texas. Mine is 56 counties. That's what I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for getting all the commanders set up with units in those 56 counties, and I'm to get those commanders, and we are to police those counties to make sure our bylaws are kept. This keeps the organization straight and clean. It doesn't allow me to have any authority over top of our commanders in the counties. It keeps our commanders sovereign and clean and strong. It keeps them working with their sheriffs. My job as a director is just to direct. It's quite simple. Some of the people wanted to call it a regional commander. We thought that was too authoritarian. We've seen where that could subvert the authority of our commanders. We didn't want to do that. So we've set the Texas State Militia up statewide. In the process, we touch base with law enforcement folks, and this includes the FBI. So the Texas State Militia does have a working professional relationship with several of the sheriffs in Texas and, of course, the FBI. I know some people would sit there and go, the FBI, oh my God. Well, look, folks, this is the reality of it. You have patriots everywhere. And how are you going to know who's a patriot and where if you don't get out? Remember that come to the center of the room and touch elbow speech I gave a long time ago on Universal Voice? Well, folks, I'm just practicing what I preach. Giving you something besides lip service. And we really need our people to focus on things. Example. The problem that came up with Drake, Denise, and Grammy. Let me tell you something. I love all three of these people. Peaches, I've grown quite fond of many of you. And you know what? That problem should stay between Grammy, Denise, and Drake. I can't believe people have took and quit themselves off focus to focus on a problem that really has nothing to do with them. I'm not going to make it my business. I've got too many other things to do, folks. Your freedom, your very freedom, is hanging in the brink. It's hanging in the brink. I am begging you all to come to the center of the room. I'm asking Grammy and Denise and Drake to work it out on their own time. And they will. They're good people, all three of them. Look, folks, problems happen. Emotions flare. Trained soldiers learn about the emotion thing. That might be where I have a little bit of an upper hand advantage to most people. It's because I'm a soldier. And I understand the importance of staying focused on a mission. Think about if a militia went on a mission and all of a sudden got caught up in a drama fest or got caught off on unfocused on their mission, the mission would fail. That's the same thing we have to think about when we do our business, folks. We're all soldiers. Whether we're trained or not, we're still soldiers. We're fighting for our freedom. And right now the fight is easy. It's kind of like a soft war. You're using your voice, information, things like that. Call it an information war, like you will. Like old Hillary said. By the way, I like what Hillary said. Let me point it out. Hillary Clinton just said 3 weeks ago that this is an information war and we are losing. She admitted that. Hillary Clinton admitting they're losing the information war. And that's because you people out there are focused on educating and helping. And what you should do. We shouldn't let nothing distract us from that. Folks, I want you to think about what would have happened to the TSM if we would allow ourselves to get distracted. You don't see us out on the internet spreading garbage and rumors and fear porn and stuff like that. We stay focused on our mission. And that is why the TSM is becoming one of the most premier militia units in the United States. That's why it's been able to touch bases with some of the people it needed to. That's how important it is for us to stay focused. Another announcement I'd like to kind of go into. I'm sure some of you are hearing about me stepping down as the owner of RAM. Well, this was a necessity. I want to explain this. Number one, Firehawk, the person that's taking the site over, Drake is familiar with Firehawk, and I'm sure Drake will tell anybody Firehawk is an outstanding human being. He is very tolerant of other people's beliefs. He's a fair man, and he's a mild man. I think he will do a better job at running RAM than I ever did, to tell the truth about it. Firehawk is very well respected, and the reason why we had to do this was because the TSM has gotten so active, folks. We are growing so rapidly, and we are advancing so rapidly that it's kind of hard to put it into words. It does not allow me the time that's needed in RAM to make myself efficient with the RAM site anymore. I just don't have the time for it. Now, there was an alternative of closing the site. That site has been up for 5 years, folks. That means a lot of people have not only invested their donations, but they invested their time into RAM. I had to make a responsible choice to those members, and that was to make sure their investment prevailed. I cannot take the time no longer with RAM the way that I have in the past because of my duties in Texas. So to be responsible to the members, I picked the best person I could possibly think of to run RAM, and that would be Firehawk. So those of you that are listening, if you're members of RAM, please stay at RAM. Firehawk needs your help and support just as much as I ever did. And really, if you're supporting Firehawk, you're still supporting my creation. I founded RAM. Nobody can ever take that from me. Ever. And it's a little emotional for me to have to do the things that I do sometimes. But it's worth it. It keeps things focused, and it keeps things moving ahead the way they should. Folks, I'm begging y'all, as my brothers and sisters in freedom, let's drop all the dumb stuff. Let's get past the drama. Let's not indulge ourselves with the fiascos that happen between people. Let them work it out. That's one of the policies of the TSM. We tell our members right away, if you're going to come into the TSM, we're not going to tolerate you going around talking behind other people's backs and stuff like that. We're just not going to do it. It's just not good behavior. It doesn't accomplish anything. Matter of fact, it sets things behind. So you got to ask yourself, these people that will not stop doing this, why? Why won't they stop? They know they're not helping anything. Don't you think that that should say a lot for them? I do. I do, and the reason why I do, folks, is because I practice what I preach. It's that simple. I really hope that my words touch your hearts today. Get yourselves focused and centered. Let's get to the middle of the room, folks. We're running out of time. This economy is breaking down fast. We're not sure exactly how this thing's going to end up. So I'm saying this, be prepared the best you can. Do what you can. Be focused in your endeavors. I don't care if you believe in ET. I don't care if you believe in anything you believe in, as long as you believe in freedom and you're willing to stand next to another person that might not see it your way, but they still believe in freedom the same way you do. Just honor one another, folks. Let's get past this. Let's move on. Let's go forward. No more stopping us. Just like that song, no more stopping us now. That's the attitude we all should be taking right now. No more stopping us now. We see people trying to cause drama, trying to spread innuendos. Folks, it's time to just turn your back and walk the other way. Tell them you ain't got time for the preteen stuff no more. Because, folks, you think about it. That's preteen behavior. That is not adult behavior. And with something so important as our freedom hanging in the brink, hanging in the brink, folks, think about that. You know, watch the wind blow it around back and forth. You don't know which direction it's going to take off. Well, there's a way to fix that, and that's to get centered up, get focused, practice what you preach. And if you can't practice what you preach, don't feel bad about standing up saying, you know what, I had good intentions, but, you know, I don't see it being feasible. Sorry I wasted time. Move on to the next thing that is productive. Well, folks, I believe I've brought you up to speed about basically what's going on with the TSM, the militia movement in general. More and more units are professionalizing. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's happening. The militia movement itself is pretty well much legitimized now. Legitimacy is no longer a problem for us. Now it's organizing professionally. So see, folks, when you stay focused, you preach the right words, get out there and touch people the right way, good things are going to happen. Might be a little human factors to deal with along the way. We ain't going to get past the human factors, folks. We're all human. We're never going to be perfect, not in these shells. So, hey, let's just do the best we can with what we got. Try to maintain that honesty out there. Well, Drake, that's about all I got to say for right now, Bub. If there's any questions, I'll stick around to answer some of them. If Thomas or you have any questions, feel free to step up. And
yes, there's one question that people have been asking. Could you give the website out again? And the second question is membership still increasing rapidly?
Oh, yeah. The militia movement is growing at a rapid pace. RAM takes on probably anywhere from about 200 members a week to 500, depending on who's doing what and where and who's talking about RAM. The TSM website, we have close to 70 to 80,000 hits a month. Actually, the TSM website gets more hits than RAM does. Imagine that.
Well, that's something, you know. And
well, the web addy for the TSM is www.texasstatemilitia.com, and the addy for RAM is www.ramsite.com, ramsite.com. So, folks, get in there and join up. Help Firehawk out. I'm still a member there. I'm going to be a member. Matter of fact, they're demanding that I stay as an admin so I can help admin the site here and there. I won't be able to be on there very much, but I will be making trips in there. I'll be keeping in touch with Drake. I'll be keeping in touch with Grammy and Denise. I'm just going to keep in touch, folks. I'm not going to let anything distract anything that I'm doing for Texas, and I ask that you all do.
Yes,
I think.
You still there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Nice, nice. Do you want to say something?
Yeah,
Craig?
I think that we can see how it goes. People in different states that want to formulate or join a militia existing or something of this nature, RAM site's the easiest way to garner contact, and you can go from there.
There you go. There's other sites, too. You've got ARM, the American Militia Movement. You've got the Modern Militia Movement, folks. There's sites out there. They're good sites. They got good people in them. They all share their membership. By all means, jump in there and do the best you can. If militia is what you feel like your talents are going to lie, then by all means, come and get involved with us. And I want to make everybody understand it isn't about all just militia folks. You got a support mechanism out there that you need to worry about. Militia can't move without support. So, you know, that's a big factor we're working on right now is trying to get a support mechanism. So all you folks that feel like, you know, you're not into the guns and stuff, well, hey, are you into taking care of the guys with the guns? You know, they might have to go in there and defend your freedom. I think they would deserve a little attention as far as support goes. There's other things as well. I know some people out there have spiritual talents, and those spiritual talents are needed just as much as anything else. Spirituality is very important to us all. We all know we have one. We have different beliefs of how our spirituality is, but still on the same note, look, we need our people that's into the spirituality to keep our spirituality healthy. You've got your peace people out there. We need people that love peace. I love peace. I know that's kind of strange coming from a warrior. I watched a movie 3 nights ago called Solomon Kane. And I resonated with the movie because Solomon Kane was a murdering person. He was a mercenary. I was once a mercenary myself. Solomon Kane was a murdering person. And he murdered out of self-want. And, well, he gets caught in a predicament that makes him have to re-examine his whole life. And Solomon Kane realized one day that he was killing for bad, that his soul was going to go to hell as far as his beliefs went. But he also learned that in a time of evil, that if somebody doesn't stand, and if somebody won't defend the weak, well, the weak die. That evil people don't care. The weak will die. So Solomon Kane had to learn how to be a defender instead of a murderer, and he's done really well. It's a great movie, folks. You ought to watch it. I put the link down in there. Please watch Solomon Kane. It has a lot of art. It has a lot of meaning. Even though it's a scientific, it's a sci-fi film. The guy never existed. I got to give the people credit that wrote the story. They touched on a vital point. It doesn't matter how peaceful you ever want to be. And it doesn't matter how bad you are. Things change. And you become something better than you was before if you choose to be. So, folks, there's a lot of neat things out there. We need all of our little gifts. To the ET people out there, look, folks, just because I don't believe in ET the way you do doesn't mean I don't respect your beliefs. I want you to understand that I don't know it all when it comes to ET. Shoot, Drake will tell you I'm as dumb as rock. So I'm not trying to say ET doesn't exist. I'm not trying to say that folks aren't ET. What I'm saying is I just don't have time to educate myself on the subject right now. Not right now. But a little later down the line, when things loosen up for me that won't distract my focus away from my mission, I'm going to get to know about ET. I promise that. Like I said, at the end of this thing, if I'm still alive, well, me and ET will probably get down to business. But I think even ET could understand my dilemma with my focus on my mission. And we'll just kind of leave that there.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, sounds good to me too. It is all inclusive. It's just a matter the post that Rick was referring to was about all coming together. No one's excluding any of the others. The message was about dissing people in particular that are on the shows. It's not called for and it's not productive. And that is why I did that post.
That's why I'm trying to say, why would we do that? Why do you want to go around hurting folks? Why would you be like that? There's a lot of things that disturb me out there that I see on Facebook and stuff. Folks, I've just learned sometimes the better way about it is just not say anything at all and just keep it to yourself and move on and put something down productive instead of, well, destructive. We need productivity, not destructivity. So I'm just not into tearing things apart. I'm more into building them than what I am tearing them apart. So, okay, take the advice for what it's worth to you.
Right. Okay. You got any questions, Ray?
Not right off the top. I know exactly where Rick's at and how busy he is. So I don't have any questions as to what he's doing. Matter of fact, he'll probably be able to be a lot better commander now that he doesn't have to split his time up so much. So,
yeah.
And I'm familiar. I'm familiar with the guy he's turning it over to, and I'd vote for him, put it that way.
Good.
Yeah, Firehawk's good people. He is really a good man. You know, I had a lot of choices. I was several choices, but Firehawk stood out on top. The reason being is, number one, Firehawk isn't really dedicated to a state militia. Number two, Firehawk has the time to do this. Number three, the biggest reason I would say that he was picked is his demeanor, folks. It's the way the man's constructed. He's very positive. He's very, very what you would call tolerant to other people's beliefs. He's everything that Ram needed. He really is. I have a lot of faith in Firehawk, and he's been an honorable friend of mine for 5 years. Where a lot of people have failed, Firehawk has always come through, folks. So he's a good man. Don't be afraid of the transfer on Ram. I took a lot of time to choose somebody to replace me. And I really wanted to make sure that the person that took over Ram would, you know, be tolerant and would do it as well as I would. And I believe that Firehawk will even do it better than I did.
Well, that's good news. I'd like to got one more question for you, Rick.
Sure.
Is there any particular field that the militia is short of right now?
I didn't quite catch all
Is there any particular field in which the militia is in dire need of?
The support mechanism. We really need to get that going. On our conference call Thursday with the TSM commanders, I pointed that out, and everybody agreed that we need to develop a militia support team. You got a fire team, right? All those guys are in uniform. Well, why wouldn't you put your support team in the same position, let them have their FTXs in the support field, and then work it with your field exercises? You see what I'm saying? That has to be built. And don't get me wrong, there's people working on it, folks, but the more people that can come in and help that mechanism work out, that's fine. So I would start getting with your militias. Look, if you're not into hitting the field, if you're not able to, there's a lot of people that want to be involved with militia but don't feel like they're physically up. That's fine. We need a support mechanism. That is the people that will take care of the guys going into the field. Cooking, cleaning, you name it, it's going to be there. So, you know, if you feel like you can serve in that capacity, know this, we're trying to get up to where you'll have a support team for the militia and then a field team for the militia. And each one of them have rank. They have a rank structure in the support team, just like they do the field team. It's kind of going to be neat how we work that thing out.
Okay. Well, I think we've taken much of your time up now, and I'd like to thank you, Rick, on behalf of all of Cosmic Voice for taking time out today to come and spend some time with us. And your message was perfect, in my opinion, and I think it will have resonated with a lot of people. So we thank you for that, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, I thank you all for having me on. Yeah, it's always an honor to get on and speak with my brothers and sisters and try to help them out the best I can with any knowledge I've got, and vice versa. I love it when they come and they are able to give me a little education here and there. So it works out both ways. You guys will be hearing from me, I promise that. I ain't going nowhere. Me and Drake are tied at the hip. Doesn't matter if we're mad at each other or not. Believe me, we'll get over it. We'll move forward. We ain't going to make it a pissing contest for everybody to get involved with. That's just the way life is, folks. It's the human factor. Let's stay focused and let's get her done.
Yes, I agree. Right, okay. Thanks, Rick. And we'll be in touch soon with you. Thank you very much.
Love you guys. I'll take care. Let's get to the center of the room, folks. Like Greg says, let's get her done.
Yeah. All right. Bye, Rick.
We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.
Right, Drake. Do you want to start on some questions?
I think that's probably going to be appropriate.
Yes. Right. Okay. Here we go. Nice easy one for you. Drake, are you Oki Oil Man from the Nassara site?
No. No. My information's a little better than that. Next.
Are you able to give us any progress report on Neil Keenan and how is progress going with NALU?
Yeah, things are progressing the way they're supposed to. Some of the things that were needing to be done in order to expedite things have been being accomplished. And due to that, you're looking at hopefully not having to wait till the end of the month or something before things start happening. I'll leave it at this point. Okay?
Right, okay. Is there any intel in regards to the embassy closures, the travel warnings, and the FEMA purchasing food story that broke the last couple of days?
What I've been able to find out is a little more succinct than what you hear in the news, and they probably don't like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You remember Clinton saying that it was an information war, and we were losing. Well, you've got excellent evidence specifically of that in the fact that they did an area closing of embassies, consulates, et cetera, in a self-protection effort. Now, everybody is aware of what happened at Benghazi. Were that to happen a second time, I think that there would be charges that should have already been filed against the people responsible for Benghazi, definitely filed in a secondary case. The idea of putting people out into areas and trying to formulate relationships, hopefully good ones, has been one of the areas that the State Department has not been as good at it as it could be for varying reasons. This is the reason for the numbers that you find in terms of, wow, I didn't know we had that many, you know, all over here. The thing that people need to understand is that as people understand that the people that we are associating with, wherever that may be, begin to understand that we're not going to play an ogre game and gobble them up, is paramount to our survival. The alternative is making enemies. The alternative is aggressive military-type actions. The appearance of troops, specifically our troops, to suddenly guard a bunch of places could be looked upon as an effort to establish forward operational bases just before an invasion of some sort or a declaration of hostilities. And that is the other reason they wanted to avoid this. Number three, there are a lot of offices that are open and operational that are not as such necessary. The State Department is going to be going through their listings, and some of these places probably will not reopen officially. You'll have records transferred. The personnel, whether you have a consulate or embassy, it needs to be manned. Now, my understanding is that they're looking at rolling offices, meaning that you would take a vehicle and go meet with people and basically present yourself rather than as an official incursion into someone else's area, more as a appear more as a guest. And it's like very, very similar to two people who are totally and completely in love with each other and don't get married. This allows that door to be open where you remind yourself not to be too obtuse about things so that you can continue the relationship. Because without the ties, at any given point, the other person can simply leave. In terms of being a guest, you're on your best behavior. You try to offer whatever you have available to offer. And yet, being treated as a guest, you're not a full-fledged official in official capacity, but more a human being dealing with another human being. That is critical to the survival of our State Department efforts. And that's basically that's more detail than you'll find anywhere else. Next.
Right. Have you read the Dialogue with a Hidden Hand from the site Illuminati News? And do you have an opinion on it?
I have to be careful what I say on open radio. news that you're going to find there is not going to be as forthcoming as everybody would like to think. That's not the way that game's played. The Illuminati, basically, in terms of as such a group, is to an extent closed. Now, this is a particular part of that group. In the recent past, there has been a split in the group known as the Illuminati. Due to the capabilities of the individuals, be that influence, in whatever capacity, money, etc., some of the membership did not like the direction things were taking and thus decided to splinter into their own group. It took about 8 months before it was fully discovered as to what fully went on. And now these two groups, one not looking to control so much as to assist, is influencing the rest of the group more towards a humanistic standpoint. If anybody has ever operated a large business or been a part of a large business concern, the first thing you'll notice is the lack of humanitarianism toward the individual. In short, the individual, no individual is critical to the survival of the group or organization. This had been, and to an extent still is, one of the base operational parameters of the Illuminati. However, in adjusting things slightly, they found that there is a lot more available to them in terms of being able to cause a direct and positive, bear this in mind, effort to start rectifying some of the things that never should have taken place. So there's a lot going on in that. And I'm going to leave it at that. Next.
Okay. In reference to a recent YouTube video reported by Super John Wild, reporting on Neil Keenan, Super John makes a statement about 34 million satanic Illuminati Americans, as though so many Americans have had any choice in the debt, slavery, and corruption. This statement indicates that 10% of Americans are responsible for this. Could you comment on your understanding of this? Basically,
yeah.
Saying 10% of Americans are Illuminati.
I'm not going to liken it to that number, specifically Illuminati. I'm not going to put a name on any... I'm not going to put the name of any one group in that position, for the simple fact that at a certain point, when you rise into that particular area, you are automatically included within many organizations. There are several who attempt to manipulate, author things, et cetera, that may or may not be in the best interests of the people, but are in the best interests of the bottom line and or the influence involved. So what you have is a gamut, or great mixing, of a large group of differing individuals, all inclusively in a, quote, smaller group that would be more in charge directly or hands-on than any one particular group. So the estimation of people being in Illuminati, you have to remember you've got all these other organizations, and in some cases you graduate through one organization into another. You at the same time pick up affiliations in several others. You end up with a small grouping of people you know very well, and in that manner you end up with the capability of touching a lot of different things at the same time with a single action. This basically is one of the ways that the people have been subjugated, and that is that, say you have a single person that influences five people, and each of them have five, and each of the 25 then are in a position to say what goes on in terms of employment in an industry, or how an industry does, whether or not orders are culminated or canceled, and all these other influential capabilities, whether or not a person gets a loan, whether or not your house is foreclosed on, you name it, it's involved. Then what you have put yourself in a position of is being able to have great influence, but you have to also be extraordinarily careful in two ways. Number one is not to be discovered that you have that kind of influence. The secondary part is to be careful, and I mean absolutely careful, in terms of the kind of influence actions you request, so that you do not cause any of the organizations to be outed. That goes to the secrecy. But even more so, that people do not understand who exactly might be really in charge, calling the shots, making the calls, etc. So the primary gist of it is that if you could control, say, the retail sector or any one of the sectors of the general economy of the United States, and I'm going to limit it to the United States, then you have the capability of going along with preconceived plans. Part of those plans are not in our best interest. Many of them have begun to fall by the wayside, in that they are no longer capable of being implemented without outing and or destroying individuals involved. Many of these things came out anyway, The investigators are beginning to really investigate, and they're finding the snooping cases, they're finding the fraud cases, they're finding that you can play in the legal system, but you're still guilty. And that was a recent, I believe it was Italy. You have then the forbidding and foreboding and awful darkness that happened to Cyprus financially, along with Greece, along with others who are not far behind that. And these people have got to figure out a way to ease that in. Part of this is evidenced here in terms of what was reported this morning as to on mainstream media as to the huge amount of new regulations. Now, anybody that does anything professionally understands how many regulations there are now. Imagine if they doubled or tripled it, and you begin to get the idea. The idea that the coal industry is nasty is factual. If, however, you refit and rebuild portions of a coal-fired power plant, it can run just as clean as a gas plant. So don't tell me that you got to kill an industry. Don't tell me that you have to do away with coal when there's not enough natural gas to power the plants. And what you have to understand, if you think coal is nasty in terms of pollution, you should see nuclear waste. You should see how long that lasts. You also have to understand that on a planet, you have things called trade winds and jet streams. This carries pollution. One of the things that's come up is Fukushima in terms of spreading radiation. But one of the things and one of the main things that's ignored is the fact that upper northern climate weather patterns tend to take our pollution to high enough altitudes that it's dropped in Europe. Our pollution here dropped across the ocean. The same thing is true of China. If you take note and really take a look, you'll find that China's pollution is what is primarily causing a lot of the same pollutive problems here. The fact that man lacks certain technical capabilities in understanding how things work, we have created basins of pollution. Los Angeles is a good example. San Francisco, another. Were certain foils, and by that I mean things that would redirect wind, added in a couple of places, there would be very little pollution there. So, you know, and this has been known for years, so it's not a new thing. It's not a new approach. It's something that has been proven in places, actually. So, you know, what's the excuse? Well, the excuse is that the same thing I talked about earlier in the show, that it isn't the people. The people have a common enemy, and they are adverse to our survival, quite literally. They would just as soon see us die as fool with us. Useless eaters and the whole nine yards. You've heard this on fear sites. If not, go to some fear sites. There's plenty out there. I don't foster the fear for the simple fact that I don't think that we, when we outnumber them at such great numbers, should have anything to fear. The militias are growing. I mean all over the country, not just in Texas, but Texas is premier. And the people, a lot of them have had enough. That old movie clip, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm a human being, and I have certain values. that holds true today just as it did when that movie was made, just as it has since forever. Unalienable rights means somebody does not have the right to cause you to have problems. And I'm going to take this one step further, and it goes to psychology. The Fun and Games begins on science application and the fact that we have a two-level mind. You have the conscious mind and subconscious. What was put out as absolute fact on a show on one of the premier channels was that your conscious mind doesn't make the decisions. Your subconscious does. By the time you arrive at a result, your subconscious had already made the decision long before that. Well, everyone needs to understand one simple thing. You are and can be fully, consciously in charge of what your subconscious mind directs you to. In other words, instead of coming out with, well, I don't understand how I got to this point, that's where your subconscious has made a decision, not necessarily by the correct information. This is where your discernment in your own head of simple incident, fact, things of that nature, can cause you to be able to direct yourself to go the right way so you don't end up in some place you don't want to be. You do this by thinking of a picture of yourself just before you go to sleep that you want to get to this. You want to accomplish X. The clearer the picture, the more defined it is, the better results you get, the quicker they happen. So start applying these things. You want to come to the center of the room? Then look at it as shaking the hand of another human being, irrespective as to what color, nationality, or belief system they may have. And it takes care of it. People, and this is a basic psychological fact, and people can discuss it all they want, but it's not something that's disputable. Most people would rather be social than not. Usually it is some sort of either learned prejudice or learned fear that interferes with that. How many people have the courage to come to the center of the room, as Rick suggested? How many people have the courage to reach that hand out and say, hey, man, how you doing? Or wave hello to people you don't even know? It takes courage to do that. I do it just because I see somebody, just because I've gotten over the fear of doing it. Sometimes you'd be amazed at the quality and the quantity of the quality of the people you meet. Next.
As it was on mute. Right, we're at the top of the hour again. And we'll play a couple of songs. It'll last about eight and a half minutes. And we'll be back with more questions straight after the music.
When it all breaks up, what are you gonna do when the flames are up? Make a dream survive. The kind of storm is
Hi, and welcome back to the last segment of today's show. We're unable to do the overtime. We're arranging to set up a Spreaker account, so we should have that up and ready soon. And I'll start with the questions again. Are you ready, Drake? What do you make of these terror warnings coming from overseas, and is the government and the elite getting ready for something and not informing us?
Well, as I said, our intel sucks, and it's not because of the intelligence community's efforts either. I'll tell you that right now. I know some of those people. Believe me, they do an extraordinary job. It's not because we have failed in any way, one way or the other. I do not agree with some of the policies of my country in regards to other countries and other people. However, it has been found that the critical information concerning exactly which or what target is now being kept close to the vest. The declared enemies of America and freedom have decided to be careful. And therefore, you close a whole area, not just one or two, or beef up security at a particular location because you don't know which one. It's much easier. It's much more expeditious. It's much more orderly to simply take a vacation for a few days. Now, as I said before, you got to understand, some of these may not open back up. The idea that something big is on its way is correct, but not in the manner you're thinking. I'm not allowed to go into that as of yet. These things will come out when their timing is correct and not before. And I don't. I refuse to interfere with delayed plans and things that are happening. And I will not out my sources, period, no matter what. People know this. So, you know, don't be too worried or concerned about the administration of powers doing something. They've got enough to do without fooling around with that right now. Okay?
Right. Next question. Can you comment on all the crazy sinkholes going on right now? Another one has just opened up in West Kansas. Are you able to pass comment on that? Thanks.
Yeah. two things go on. One is agriculture and one is removal of either gaseous or liquid fuels and things of that nature from the ground. Either way, when you do so, you weaken what would otherwise be a strong, what they call an aquifer bubble. This is a small aquifer, may only contain, some are so small, 200-300 gallons. Some are several thousand. Some are millions. Now, if you really want to see sinkholes, check out California. Specifically Southern California, and you're going to find a whole mess of them. They have certain portions of some of the highways in California that are made out of a flexible compound so that they don't come apart too easily just because of the number of sinkholes. So, yeah, you're going to have these opening up specifically in areas where agriculture pumps a lot of water or oil or gas is being replaced with drinking water or fluid. So this goes hand in hand with the problems that we face in terms of screwing the planet up. Our past practices of playing the game of fossil fuels is going to have to come to a screeching halt. There are a load of other ways, both for power for your home, heating, cooling, et cetera, and for your vehicle. And these things are going to be coming out very soon. So those who can afford to have a conversion, I don't know what the costs are going to be or any of that yet. Some of these things are being worked out. But there are drive systems, there are hover systems, and all kinds of really innovative things that are relatively efficient in direct comparison to what you have now in terms of cost. So the only addition might be the unit itself, if these units are going to be charged for. That part has not been decided yet. My opinion is that were we to take the main vehicles used to transport goods and first convert them on a gratis basis so that there was no more pollution from semis, trains, airplanes, things of this nature, then you have only one thing left, and that's passenger vehicles. Once the heavy industries are converted, I want you to think about this. No more burning something to supply power to your home. That means that all of that pollution quits. Second part, and the next major one, is all forms of transportation. As we address these problems, the pollution ceases. We no longer have to rape Mother Earth by digging holes, punching well drillings, exploding things underground, and whatever, mountaintop removal, you name it. We don't have to do all that. We don't have to screw up Mother Nature in the process of our simple wants and needs, let alone our survival. Now, people don't realize, but our survival does hang in the balance. So, go from there.
Right. Question for Drake. Why is no one bringing into light that viruses are not the cause of disease and that contagion is an illusion? This is one of the most important things people need to learn about their health. Why has this not been disclosed?
Well, you have to understand that there is a huge amount of money in major medical. How many doctors, how many pill people, pill pushers, how many pill companies, drug companies, et cetera, would be directly affected if they found out that baking soda cured cancer, or that apple cider vinegar, one spoonful of apple cider vinegar and one spoonful of lemon juice and a glass of water can cure almost everything else. What happens to these industries? Where do the people go that work there? There are applications. There are ways to help control pests. One of those ways is something that eats that pest. Another way is to use what is called true organics in the process of treating problems, be that weeds or insects. You'll find that there are a lot of books and information available on the internet that explains all of these things. Why it hasn't been brought out? Well, because if you use the word cure, you're done. If you put out information, you got to watch them. If you don't say that this is just a supplement, then you're practicing medicine without a license and they want to come get you. And the reasons for that are the money involved. Nothing complicated about it. Next.
A few alternative news sources are pointing towards a late August, early September collapse of the Federal Reserve. Without giving too much away, are we that close?
Okay, well, I'll be more specific. According to what I've been finding, we're closer. Now, collapse is a word where everything folds. Its own weight is so great that the building collapses or falls in. That's the ideology. I will suggest that the restructuring, that the attenuation of that system and the restructuring of it will happen before a collapse takes place, from what I'm seeing presently. So I'm an optimist. I see the glass half full more than I see it half empty. but I also understand the point of view of seeing it half empty, especially where finance, especially where jobs, especially where things of that nature go. So I'm hoping that it'll happen a lot sooner than that. Next.
Question. I see disclosure is coming out and is in full swing. I have a question. Are there many good guy moles in the military, law enforcement, other agencies that will be able to help us succeed in all this?
Yes. Military is running around 85% to 90%. Law enforcement is running about 60%. So between those basic numbers and the fact that there are a lot more armed people and militia people who intend to make sure it happens correctly, you join all those forces up, it becomes formidable, and I see that as a positive. Next.
Question. This is about communications. What happens if the communications go down during the fall down, the shutdown? How will people be able to communicate or contact each other?
Okay. All of the present utility services, that's electric, water, sewer, gas, communications, telephones, and all that stuff, supposedly are to be maintained. This is a part of the program or plan that I've mentioned before. If somebody decides they're going to turn off the water plant and leave and lock the door, well, we've got people to step in who have run water plants to take up the slack. Same thing's true of power plants and other engineering positions. So don't look for any kind of long-term interruption. There may be some spotty problems. They'll be addressed very quickly, believe me. The idea is not to cause people to be fearful, not to cause anxiety and paranoia and oh my goodness and whatever, but to make it a smooth and peaceful transition, you have to keep the phones working, lights on, TV running, and that sort of thing. So they're looking to do that. Next.
Right. When the bad guys and cabal are removed or killed, how do we know really who they were, and will it stay that way?
Oh, well, first of all, you got to remember we have been accumulating a list since the list really started formulating about the mid-60s. It's been being worked on as long as the 50s, as the plan has been worked on. The manner in which it stays righteous is real simple. You make the whole thing transparent. You offer to the people to decide how things are going to be in a realistic manner. Now, most people do not grow their own food. So there has to be some kind of manner in which you can exchange something of value, whatever that may be, for the food you eat, clothes you wear, things of this nature, if there is a financial problem. Eventually, we'll end up there without currency, without monetary value, as it's considered. Until that time, some of the present systems will be maintained, but restructured. And that's basically how it's going to be. Next.
Once the stock market crashes happens, will it close forever, or will there be opportunities to get back into it? Will it reopen?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how things might work in that direction. Right now, it's pretty ripe, in my opinion. I would suggest that it's worth maybe 8,000-9,000, not the 15 or whatever it's running. So you have to look at the hollowness and if you're going to have anything left to reinvest. This is why I had suggested and still do that people look at precious metals. that has been the accepted currency of the planet since forever and will be to some extent into the future. Paper monies and paper equities and things of this nature probably will not last that long. You've got all kinds of really crazy-looking things, credit defaults and things of this nature, that are nothing more than a moneymaker. And they don't have any intrinsic value of their own in most cases. And so you have to understand that paper equity is only worth what the paper is written on. It's only worth as much as the real promise is stood behind that it says so on that piece of paper. The treaties we made with the Indians, we broke them all. Not them, we did. It was to our advantage, so to speak. We needed to expand, and they were in the way. And so, you know, we eliminated, much to my displeasure, some of the finest people on the planet, simply so that we could make a buck. Don't be surprised if your paper equities and things of this nature start doing the same thing to you. There may be, there has been a shift in the insurance industry where you can insure things that are not yours. In other words, if there's a loss in stock value, there is insurance policies that can cover that so that you don't actually take much of a loss, if any at all, even on somebody else's stock. So the variations, the fun and games of the almighty dollar or, hey, I'm worth $1 million, really. Well, those ideologies pretty much are hollow, and you got to be real careful about that. I would suggest you keep a little cash, keep some, get a hold of and keep some gold, coinage preferably, junk silver if you can find it. It goes on and it doesn't stop. Those three items along with a couple of weeks of food and water and you should be good. The intent and purpose of what is coming is to realign and restructure, not destroy. But all the crooks involved, they go bye-bye. So you lose the bad element and restructure, and everybody can see what's going on. That basically should solve that problem permanently. Okay?
Right. Next question is about silver, where it will go in price. So what will a medium-sized house be worth in silver ounces after the takedown is done, or will buying a house be a thing of the past once the market has changed?
Well, what you have to understand is the basis of credit is an individual's signature on a contract agreement. What is not understood well is that the individual signator, that's you signing a contract, is the primary creditor. So the large changes that I have been expressing that are coming about, that's going to be very fundamental, meaning that a lot of the idea of commerce, a lot of the ideas of conducting business in terms of monies or valuations, are going to change in terms of their base. What that does to the rest of it is questionable. Now, as far as practical application of gold or silver, gold has the highest conductance of any of most metals in terms of electronics. Silver runs a very close second. The difference between them is that silver is a harder metal. You have to have a higher heat in order to melt it. When combined with a couple of other things, silver wire can be pretty awesome in terms of strength and durability of putting up with high loads and things of this nature. The problem with gold is that it's not easy to combine it into alloys, and thus you would use it less in a lesser way than you would silver. So my suggestion is silver probably is going to become the metal. Now, the thing about silver is that it is primarily all been mined. There are very few silver mines left. There's a few caches that people don't know about yet, but nothing that would tilt the market. Right now, it's only running like $20 an ounce. Believe me, that's about, if you swap the price between gold and silver, that would be more correct. I'd have to give gold at least $200-$300 an ounce, whereas silver would be around $1,200-$1,500 at the minimum. When these things are starting to be used, and this is something everybody needs to know about, when you start to use these things in an application, in other words, gold foil can deflect certain types of radiation. And so, therefore, you could use it in a concentrator to concentrate that same radiation. Same thing's true of silver. Different metal, different radiation. The interesting part is that we have an opportunity to buy into markets that they can no longer suppress correctly. Gold's been staying right around 1300, no matter what they do to the market. Silver has been staying right around 20 bucks an ounce, no matter what they do to it. So what happens with currencies? Flip-flop all over the place. The euro is a real good example. The dollar bill goes up and down like a roller coaster as well. So what does not go up and down so severely? The basis for currency, which is gold and silver. That's my recommendation. How the value of a house may not be anything more than an agreement where other people, in other words, you sign an agreement, the bank supplies money to build the house and is paid from your being a primary creditor. In other words, the bank gets paid or debt eliminated in terms of you being the primary creditor. That's kind of squirrely, sounds backwards, and it is compared to what we got now. So you got to really consider these things. I'm going to get into this in more detail in a future show, okay?
Right. The next question is about the RV. It seems the debtors will win in this RV. Should we be racking up debt to get it wiped out in the future?
I wouldn't even look to an RV right away. Until after the central banking system and financials have been closed and restructured, I doubt you're going to see any RV. And the reason for that is that the agreements are basically in place as to what the values of certain currencies for certain countries should be. Whether they're not, questionable again. Some of the countries that have extremely poor economies will find that within several months, and I'm not going to predict how many, within several months after the restructuring, that the value of their currency is going to go up tremendously. In other words, instead of being, 500 to 1, it'll come up to 100 to 1 or 50 to 1. Or in the case of dinars, my understanding is like 25,000 or something. Let's see, 2,500 to 150 or something along in there. Imagine that reversing. Make it 300 to 1. That's a nice increase. Whether or not this will be actually redeemable is another question that's not come up and been answered yet. As I say, as these things start unfolding, you're going to find that the unaligned nations, the ones who refuse to be a part of the central banking system and kowtow to whatever the demands of that nature are made, have remained independent. And what they have decided is certain valuations generally, for now, because they don't know the true asset value of a country, what they'll do is they will start implementing certain things. the releasement of the collateral accounts will assist in these areas. In other words, water, basic transportation, things that are needed so that people can get to where they need to go, paying wages to people to make sure that happens is all in the works. So the valuation of a country will depend upon a combination of what would be called labor, and this includes all labor, the natural resources, the exports. I mean, you have a basket of things to consider. How that is going to work exactly, I don't know yet. But as soon as this reset starts, then you're going to start seeing this stuff come out in the mainstream media. They won't have any choice but to pay attention. I could come out with some, I could contact some people and come out with better information, but I decided, and I've talked to a couple of people who agreed, to allow that to run in the background so nobody notices, so nobody knows really fully what's going on. In this way, I don't have information that might mess that up, and we might be able to get to where we're going quicker. Next.
Right, this next person wants to know, should he go ahead? He wants to buy a new car, or should he hold off because of the transition and or the new technology to come? He says he doesn't want to buy an expensive Flintstones car.
I can understand that feeling. I don't think I'd appreciate that much either. The thing I would look at would be to take care of your needs as they are now. If you don't really got to have a new car, I'd hold off. If you can hold off for, say, three months or something, or four at the most, I guarantee you that we will be having things happen, hopefully within that time frame. I don't see any reason not to, and neither do the people that I work with. So you should be in good shape, okay?
Right. Regarding the RV and the collapse of the dollar, it seems apparent they are both set to happen. Are they too related, and will one cancel the other out? For example, if the currency is RV, will that cancel out the collapse of the dollar?
No. You're going to have a period where all paper currency is shut down. This is why I recommend getting some coinage. Now, whether the local stores and whatnot will still accept the Federal Reserve note is unknown. I can tell you that the Federal Reserve is going to come under the Treasury. Now, the Federal Reserve note is the world reserve currency. That means that the United States does not have its own money, its own dollar. So that means they're going to have to fire up the printing presses and start making money at the Treasury to be distributed into the population. So, no, you're going to have a short period of time. I'm estimating about a week, total time of about 2 weeks. Takes a few days to shut it down, and they're going to sit there for about a week to reinitiate some things, and about 3 or 4 days to bring it back up. So you got a couple weeks. During that couple week period, you're going to find that there is nothing going on, period, financially. So after that, then some of these things may be reinitiated, and I say maybe. It's more likely that they will be changed, but similar. So, you know, don't be overtly concerned. Federal Reserve notes will be exchanged for these new American dollars. As I understand it, one for one, nobody gets hurt that way. So, you know, there's a lot of extra detail goes into that I'm not going to put out right now. Okay?
Next. What can you tell us about the gold disappearing from allocated personal accounts?
Well, it depends on when you say allocated personal account, are you talking about gold on hand that you can hold in your hand? Are you talking about certificates of ownership of gold somewhere else? That's the question. I will recommend that you do not accept any form of stock, ownership certificates, or any of that horse hockey. Get the real deal, hold it in your hand type, and figure out a place to put it. I do not recommend putting anything in a financial institution, because when it closes, you ain't going to be able to get to it. So your safety deposit box, no. A good safe in your house, in a basement, hid away in a closet, is a much better deal. This way you actually have access. So when you need to go buy gas or get groceries, you can do it. I don't like the idea, but apparently our federal government has decided that they think that they have the right to confiscate our personal property, specifically gold and silver coin, and they don't have that right. Whether they like it or not, they're not allowed to do that. It's up to you whether or not you want to have a gunfight with them if they decide they're going to break in your house and do it anyway. I don't recommend that they get that close. But the basis of it is that, again, the people have a problem with the government, and all the people, not just one or two, all of us. If they really needed your big screen, they'd come get it, basically, is what they're saying. Basically, what they're saying is that you don't have any rights. Basically, what they're saying is you are a subject. So, you know, until we, as this unfolds, those rights will be restored. And you will be protected in terms of no one being able or allowed to come and get things that belong to you, be that monies or personal property or whatever. That is going to come to a screeching halt. So I don't like it. That's theft. And I would prefer charges against the people that do this, be that the federal marshals or whomever it might be. I'd go after them. You're going to have a lot of legal considerations in this reset of our country. Now, we're going back to the originals, as I've stipulated in earlier shows, but the main crux of it is that some things have to be addressed now, meaning keep your skinners off of people's accounts, be that gold or whatever. Do not sell what you do not have and cannot provide. Now, this is something that COMEX and a few of these other exchanges and large companies are having a serious problem with. They can't provide the gold being ordered. Somebody orders 2,000 tons. That's a load of gold. Well, they've been saying, well, we got 200 tons, not 2,000. These people are trying to capitalize themselves with the basis for currency. They're trying to protect themselves, and it's not even available. So even the big guys can't do it. And some people that I know personally converted everything they had into cash, offered billions of dollars to acquire assets, and couldn't buy them. Nobody would offer to execute the order. So, you know, be aware of this. Be on your toes. Get your stuff together. Hold this stuff personally close enough to you that people can't just walk into some other place and get a hold of it. That's one of the key issues. Next.
Right. Why is Colin Powell being attacked at this point in time?
He disagreed with some people he shouldn't have disagreed with if he wanted to not be attacked. Now that he no longer has their protection, he's an easier target. That's basically why. Next.
Do you have an opinion on the World Bank whistleblower, Karen Hughes?
Yeah, I'm glad she came forward. Hope she does more. We need more like that. To blow the whistle on our government, Snowden, to blow the whistle on the banking system, to start outing these things so that they can be cleaned up. There's a huge mess out there, mountains of it, and we're going to need some sort of a super shop vac to get this mess out of the garage so we can park the car in there again. Okay?
Right. This one, a person is asking about the bitcoins. Is it the currency of the new world order?
The bitcoin?
The bitcoin. Is it the currency of the new world order planned for one world government?
I wouldn't say that, but what I would say is that that's an electronic monetary system, and at the level that number that people are hacking computer systems and things of that nature, I'd rather have my cash in the bank. Just to be honest with you, and it ain't safe there either. Identity theft is rampant. It's difficult right now to be able to actually find the security everybody would like to offer someone. Bitcoin supposedly is a up-and-coming thing. Well, it hasn't taken off well enough to replace the dollar, so I'm a little leery of it. That's just me, my personal opinion of it, okay? You still there? Hello?
All right, board dropped. Right, okay. What are your thoughts on the recent statement by the entity calling itself Good Intentions that the timeline has been changed for the better and all the resulting good and bad consequences?
Well, Good Intentions happens to be a reality shifter, along with the race of people that he is a part of. And without the permission of an individual, you're not allowed to artificially or otherwise manipulate or interfere with them. I do not see the changes the man is calling for. I doubt anybody else will if they realign themselves with what is called the true reality. And the true reality is difficult to manifest for a lot of people. Mostly people who are adepts or above are able to do this. I reset my reality to the true reality regularly to make sure that it cannot be and has not been manipulated. That said, there have been certain physics laws that are being invoked so that the realities can no longer be shifted. Hopefully these things will be effective. I will wait and see. And when they are, I'll make appropriate announcements through our Facebook page accordingly. I had a problem with Good Intentions that my reality was shifted personally by that individual. Without my knowledge or consent, I was able to fight that off, change it, and I am aligned with the true reality at this point. And I intend to maintain that. The overall reality, and by that I mean the overall reality of the planet, cannot be shifted by even a whole race of beings. That is no longer possible. Things have been changing at a rapid rate, at very high levels, to make sure that the planet also is free from influence and control. Okay?
Yes. We've got 6 minutes left, Drake.
Okay.
Somebody asking, are you any closer to getting your second book published?
Yes, it's formulated in my head. All I got to do is write it down and stick it out there. Next.
Okay. Could you or are you able to dive into your military visits as a young man?
Dive into... Now, say that again.
Could you dive into your military visits as a young man? Could you mention some of your visits? I presume they're talking about Vietnam and stuff.
Well, I've I did a tour in Vietnam, 67 and 68. I was involved in the Tet Offensive. I was at Hue. We moved through the banana plantation battle on to an operation that was part of the Liberation Force for Khe Sanh. We took on light Russian tanks in the process. You don't have any idea how that feels when you walk around a corner on a trail and there's a tank sitting there giving you the finger. It really does something for all kinds of things. We managed it. Prior to that, I was in Nike Missile Systems at Redstone Arsenal, where I ended up with some of my security clearance. I was in intelligence and didn't know it most of my life. That is due primarily to ET and ET's informing the military, certain people in the military, that I was directly involved. At that time, they did not know what I was going to progress into. My experiences in my life have given me a very well-rounded perspective on many things. In short, a person can go, if they really want to know, and study out the mechanics of psychic sciences in order to understand spirituality. They can also study out the mechanics of spirituality. It's sort of a mechanical kind of, you do this, you get this result sort of deal. Or, and there's nothing wrong with the differential here, I want to make that absolutely clear, a person can simply believe. And it, either way, what works, works. What don't, don't. It's just that simple. I decided that I wanted the best of both worlds. So I've been involved with biblical research teams, some of whom are still overseas deciphering and translating the Dead Sea Scrolls. I've been involved with varying forms of psychic research at different college locations, and in general involved in all kinds of things. Thousands of different areas that people would not normally get into, I made it a point so that I know something about it, so that I would have some kind of, yeah, I heard about that. Can you tell me more? When it might come up in a conversation.
Okay. Can you make your closing statement, please, Drake, as we've only got 2.5 minutes left?
Real simple. Everybody needs to come to the middle of the room, shake hands, and go down the road towards freedom. I'm going to start supplying some things through the website again here shortly, and hopefully these will open people's eyes a little bit. Now, there's a lot out there that you need to understand and learn. If you are new or a beginner at this, start looking up secret societies. Start looking up influences. Look up governmental improprieties, and you'll find references to all over the world. To go along with that, there are religious groups, and I'm not going to name any names, that have and hold great influence in varying places, varying ways. These things all need to be addressed. These are some of the things that are going to be addressed soon. Between now and then, I say, get her done.
Right. Thanks for that, Drake. I'd like to thank everybody who's joined us today, and a special thanks to Rick Light. The archives of the show will be up shortly on our Cosmic Voice Facebook page. If you're not a member yet, you're welcome to join, and I'll leave you with this music. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye now.
I'm sad to say, it's time.